Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, making your life easier. That's why we're here. And why we are here today is to talk to two people very involved with trying to figure out how we can create the housing stock that we need in this area for a lot of people who are trying to get a roof over their head. And we have with us Elizabeth Morgan. She's with the Council of Governments. And Elizabeth, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce your guest over here, Jeff Souser.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us. We have Jeff Souser with us. Jeff is a principal at Community Scale, which is a consultant firm that has been working with the COG and with the counties in our region, Chester, Lancaster, York, and Union, really for almost a year now, looking at workforce housing in our region, doing a deep dive into the data. What do we have? What do we not have? What do we need? What are some of the trends? What are we seeing? And we are coming to the culmination of all of that data exploration and synthesis and being able to put that together into our reports to share with all of our counties.
So we're going to put the whole onus on Jeff to have the magic bullet to solve this problem.
Well, it's really been such a collaborative effort. Jeff and his group have been fantastic to work with. We've really learned a lot. But we've also worked with folks in our own communities. This doesn't happen in a bubble. And so we want to make sure that we're talking to the folks in our communities, in our counties, to see, does this data, does this pass muster? Is this what you're seeing too? And then also getting some anecdotal information from them, you know, our employers in our communities, our councils, our municipalities, our counties, our service organizations, school districts, really getting everybody together to just look at this problem or solutions holistically and find out what do we have in each community.
So, Jeff, generally speaking, are the issues that we have in this region much different than other regions of the country?
I wouldn't say so. Our firm works across the country. We specialize in these regional housing studies and housing plans. And I think a lot of what's going on in this region is similar to what's going on in other parts of the country. Specifically, when we think about the relationship between housing and workforce development and employment and jobs, increasingly, especially in regions like this that are large and growing rapidly, employers are looking for workforce. If they're trying to make a decision about where to invest, where to add more employment, where to expand a plant, those sorts of things, they look at infrastructure, they look at transportation, of course, but now they're looking at the housing stock. Will they be able to hire and retain the staff that they need to run those facilities?
Well, we just have landed a big, big, big employer, Octa Pharma, which is going to bring just 1,500 jobs here. So there we go. We're off and running, and we're going to need some housing stock for a lot of these people. All right, so tell me the process you went through to figure out where we're going to be, and then we'll talk about where we are.
Sure. So we do a lot of data analysis. We start our process. We maintain a database that has extensive data on demographics, on economics, on housing transactions, on all those things, just to understand across the board from a quantitative perspective what the conditions are, where the trends are headed. And then, as Elizabeth said, we visit multiple times and hold focus groups with folks on the ground in the four counties, in the municipalities, and other stakeholders to make sure that the data that we've gathered is accurate to the story that they experience, and then we craft the narrative with them to make sure that it's both reflective of what they're seeing on the ground and also leading to some actionable solutions that they can work with moving forward.
So, Elizabeth, what actually prompted the COG to get into this? Have you just heard this over and over and over that somebody needs to do something about it?
Yeah, we really found that it kept coming up in a lot of our meetings we were holding with our stakeholders, with our communities, our counties, some of our business folks, that we just kept hearing an issue with workforce housing. Do we have enough? Do we not have enough? And people, you know, you feel like you know the answer just from your day-to-day and your interactions, but we really wanted to have concrete data to back up what people were already feeling like they knew. And so we got a group of stakeholders together to really look at what is it you need, what information would be helpful to you, and how do we get that information together. We looked at what some other communities had done, some different examples of studies, and then kind of crafted really what would work best for our four-county region. So we got that group together, the stakeholders, and they really put together the plan. So it was not a COG plan or a COG idea. It's definitely cohesive of our four counties that we serve. And so we really worked with them to make sure that they were going to get the information they needed. And that kind of looked different for different areas. Obviously, our region's very diverse. Even within our counties, we have small communities, big communities, rural communities. So we wanted to make sure that the information would be useful to everybody. And so that's really how we came up with the rubric for the studies. We reached out, put out, you know, a request for proposals. We had a great response, and then we were able to look through those proposals and do some interviews and ultimately landed with community scale to start the work for the proposal.
So are your findings pretty much tailored to each section of the four counties?
So we took a few different perspectives simultaneously. I think for the first portion of the project, we were trying to understand what the regional narrative is, because while each community, each county is unique and distinct in some ways, we're all working within the same regional economy as well. So what is that overall regional story? And then at the county by county level, how does that manifest locally? What are the variations between counties, within counties, so that those governments, those communities, those stakeholders can make tailored decisions locally? So when we're done, we'll package reports that summarize information at the county level. We'll also provide reports and data at the even more local level, because I think at the end of the day, the goal here is not to tell people what to do. It's to explain the situation and give them the tools they need to make local decisions about how to respond.
And I would think a lot of that would just have to do with land cost, because the land costs in your county are going to be different than what they are, let's say, in Chester County, right?
Yep. Land costs is a driver. I mean, the biggest driver for just the cost of a new unit is the construction cost, the hard cost, the $250 a square foot or more just for the materials to get it built. Other costs, especially in a more suburban or rural environment, are extended infrastructure to even reach these sites. If you don't have, and you need to get the water, the sewer, the roadways start to get strained as we get more development. So there are many cost drivers that factor in, and all those add up to a hefty price tag that requires some thought to really defray.
I'm almost hesitant to bring this up because I know it's got to be part of your report, and that is regulations that we have in all these communities as to what has to be built, certain size, certain style. You know, when you have starting houses in Rock Hill, South Carolina, at $350,000, and you're trying to tailor something for workforce, something's got to give. And it's not going to be the cost of 2x4s and roofing tile.
That is a good point. Yes, exactly. I think regulations are different from place to place. Some parts of the region don't have zoning. Others do have zoning. The zoning regulations require different lot sizes, different building sizes. In some cases, zoning leads to a product that costs too much simply because, for example, mm-hmm. the lot size is so big that you can only build a large house to justify the investment. So there are some things that you can do to permit smaller homes. In particular, some of the demographic trends we observed were that household sizes are getting smaller. We don't need, you know, some people would like a bigger home, but more and more people might like a smaller home. So it might be that the market could tolerate smaller units in certain places. That could be a lower price point as well, as long as the regulations allow it. And that doesn't solve the whole problem, but that is one part of it.
Well, you're right. It doesn't solve the problem because all the regulations say in bigger cities, they don't want tiny homes. They don't want smaller homes that are less than 1,000 square feet. They don't want that. And therein lies a big rub that somebody's going to have to, you know, fight if we're going to provide the housing that the companies and the industries that we're trying to attract here want. Okay, so give me some, you know, highlights as to what you've come up with.
Well, I think I've alluded to some of the demographic trends we've seen. I think one of the fundamental overarching findings and recommendations is just to keep the conversation going. This is one of the first times that I'm aware of that all four counties have contributed to a study that thinks about an issue like this holistically, and that's a big step. I mean, that's what we see a lot of times, regions just starting to have this conversation, just starting to work together around this issue of housing, where maybe traditionally transportation was a unifying conversation. So we're seeing great job growth across the region. Housing is the other component to that. So working together and having conversations locally, too. You alluded to concerns about certain housing types that might not be so common today. You know, some communities aren't going to want that, but as we've spoken to people, you know, there is openness to different housing types, you know, as long as it's done in a way that fits into the neighborhoods, into the communities, and it reflects the values of the local community. So there's a lot of conversation that needs to have to happen to understand how to translate these trends into, you know, something that feels good locally.
So, Elizabeth, at what point do we get the hard core report and everybody starts diving into it?
Sure. So Jeff's in town for the next couple of days. We're doing presentations to the county councils. So we're showing them the what we're calling like the 99% draft, but allowing them to provide feedback to make sure there's any final tweaks or you know anything else we want to look at. But we expect that the final reports will be available first week of September, and they'll be living on the Catawba Cog website. So the great thing about this report and working with community scale is that this is not just one snapshot in time. So these reports also have, you can click on a map and it'll take you to that map and you can interact with it. So you can, if you know, you may be looking at one area of the county, but you want to see, well, what happens if I compare it to this other area of the county? And you can click on that and do that. So there's a lot of really helpful and useful interactive tools in this report. And so it's not going to be something we're going to hand you that's paper and that's going to sit on your shelf. It's going to be a living document that'll live on the Catawba Cog website, and then folks will be able to go and interact with it. And then the other thing, which Jeff can talk more to because they're all the brains behind this, but it will continue to update. So as information becomes available, as new data comes out, it's not going to be just, all right, this is September 2026, what was happening. It'll be continuing to update as trends advance and as data becomes available. So that's another great thing about having this as an online tool for folks to access, is they'll continue to get an updated version.
Well, the thing that you hope for is that this time, effort, and money that's been spent on this report doesn't result in something that's going to sit on a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if the COG, or maybe Jeff over here, are thinking ahead as to how we're going to keep nudging those who have produced this report, the governmental entities, to do what the report is suggesting that they do. Because the longer we wait, the more expensive and the bigger the problem is going to become. We're growing at a clip that's ridiculous. I mean, what is it I heard? The Charlotte region, is it adding 160 people a day?
Wow.
And down here in York County, I'm just talking about York County, we're picking up about 30 of those a day. I mean, that's a lot of bodies. You can't sit around and chew on this too long.
Yeah, we've definitely been encouraged. The county reports that we've presented so far have had a lot of really great conversation coming out of those reports afterwards. And so I think we're definitely moving in the right direction with getting, like Jeff said, getting those conversations going. And as a COG, part of our mission is to help foster conversations, help foster collaboration. So we are, you know, happy to help, you know, have conversations, host conversations, get folks together to make sure that there is a space that this can continue. And I think we've seen that come out of the reports we've done so far, the presentations so far, that folks are interested in looking at what can we do next.
Okay, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, of course, Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. And the Good Pharmacy, our hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, of course, we're here at Substation 2. Look at Jeff. He's all teed up. He's ready to go. Elizabeth, come on. You have to get in here. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high-interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, as we continue our discussion with Elizabeth Morgan for the Council of Governments, and of course Jeff Souser, who's with Community Scale, and it's all about housing. What are we going to do about providing workforce housing for lots of people who are looking for solutions? Well, if you missed the first half of the program, Jeff and his group, Community Scale, have been looking at this for like 6 months or so. They are now at a point where they're about ready to issue the final report. And I don't know whether the report, because you do this all the time, whether we're somewhat ahead of the curve in solving this compared to other communities across the country, or we're behind the curve, or we're just about where everybody else is in the world.
Yeah. One thing that's unique about this region is the growth trajectories are different from county to county. I think overall, you're dealing with growth, which is not the same as other parts of the country. We work in other places in the Northeast, for example, where we're trying to catalyze some growth. So we're starting from a standing start. Here, you alluded to a lot of people moving to the region on a daily basis. I mean, some counties in this region are adding jobs even faster. So there's a lot of growth to manage, and that's a good problem to have. But as you alluded to earlier, also, there's an urgency to it, because the problem isn't going to get better until we start to solve it.
Well, and that's what I was asking Elizabeth in the first part of the program. What are we going to do to nudge these governmental entities to do something with this homework that they've paid for? Mm-hmm. Because somebody has to take the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that happens, whether that's something that you keep nudging them to do, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are, from my experience, the counties are interested enough in this topic that they are continuing to have those conversations and setting up organizations and times to do that. So we're happy to help host that and encourage that and collaborate. But it's definitely something that I think continued conversation will happen around, especially because the document will be a changing document. And so they'll have this data available. There's a toolkit as part of the document that is just suggestions. It's not a plan. It's not a mandate, but a toolkit with different options, suggestions to kind of be a jumping off point for our counties and our communities to look at. And there's options for, you know, some of our larger communities as well as some of our smaller communities with different potential solutions for different issues. And so I think that's going to be a really great place to start conversation around. And again, it's up to each community. This is really the document they asked for, and so we're handing it over, and they're going to come up with what works best for them.
Is it unreasonable, Jeff, for, let's say, the COG to suggest to these different governmental entities, here's a timetable you should follow. We'd like to get a shovel in the ground in a year. We'd like to see the first project done within 3 years or something like that. I mean, is that totally out of the realm of possibility?
I think with respect to timetables, I mean, one thing that the report does is projects trends and projects, you know, trends extended. Here's where we're headed. Here's where the situation could get us in the different counties and region-wide. I don't think the COG is trying to provide mandates or prescribe certain solutions. This was originally intended to be primarily a data report. And through the stakeholder conversations, we were asked to provide more tangible solutions and strategy ideas. So we did that in this toolkit concept that is really a set of recommendations that, that can be taken as a menu, not a mandate from the COG. And so as we've been talking to the county councils, for example, what we hear in those meetings, I'll present what we found, what we think has worked in other places and might work here. And then we hear live in the meeting the counselors translating what they've heard into things that might work for them locally and to start conversations that relate to things they know about that they've been interested in that they can translate into the local. So I think the timetable, the specific strategies, the actions taken will vary from place to place. And it's up to the localities to decide what to do. And then the COG is there to support. And there are a number of things the COG can do to help them as they start to take those actions.
Now, you all do this work all over the country, community scale. What have you found as far as other clients that you've worked with and how quickly they reacted to the data that you provided to them?
Yeah, many times a client or community will incorporate our findings into the next round of comprehensive planning. That's one key way to do it. There's always some communities that are about to start a comprehensive plan, so sometimes that can happen pretty quick. In other cases, some of the strategies that we produce or some of the mapping elements that Elizabeth mentioned, there might be a development concept coming down the pipeline rather soon, and now the community can look at that development and evaluate the concept through the lenses that we provide it, so they can decide through this new perspective, does that project make sense? Do we want to partner with that developer, make an investment in that project? Is it really going to solve the problem we have?
My guess is that part of your report is going to involve each one of these governmental entities reaching into their budget to make some part of this happen so that it would be the impetus for the rest of it to happen. Right? Wrong?
That might be their choice. I mean, there are things you can do. So one thing we tried to do with our strategy toolkit was to provide a range of options that reflect a different amount of political investment, of financial investment from a policy change, such as a zoning change. That doesn't cost anything. It might take some conversation and some time to work out what's right, but that's not necessarily a capital investment, all the way to a public-private partnership or some kind of incentive program that does cost money and needs to be justified. One of the things we've talked about in one of our meetings was the idea of having some fiscal balance as you're thinking through what do we want to do, what zoning might we want to change, what investment might we want to make. There might be willingness to explore those types of ideas, but it needs to be done in a way that's fiscally prudent and doesn't put us in a deeper hole financially, because growth costs money, it adds strain on services. All those things need to be considered as we think about how to handle it.
So do you see, Elizabeth, the Council of Governments being able to reach into your great big toolbox and grant funds that you know are available out there to get money to help get this process started?
So potentially, and that's one of the toolkit recommendations, is to work with the COG to discuss state or federal funding that might be available to access some of these issues or some of the solutions. And, some things, like we work a lot with infrastructure grants and with our communities. So that's just one part of, like, this whole issue. It's not necessarily a one-shot fix, but there's all these little pieces. So infrastructure funding, that's something we may be able to help with, or different options along that way. But definitely working with the COG and the things that we do and the options that we have is one of the toolkit solutions.
All right. I want you to – we'll just talk about your county because that's where we're doing the broadcast from. Can you remember any specific recommendations for your county as far as what they're going to be seeing in this report?
Yeah, York County is an example of a place that is seeing faster job growth than household growth overall. Mm. So that means that the problem is the opportunity or the challenge is kind of expanding in front of us. It's hard to say what York County's overall should do, because what we've been trying to do is be sensitive to the variation across the county. So the eastern half of the county has one set of opportunities and challenges, and then the western half has another. Some of the things we looked at are, for example, the jobs-housing balance within a given community. York County overall has a lot of people that both live and work in York County, more than many places that we've worked. So that's a good thing. But one thing to evaluate is who's still commuting out of the county. What jobs do we need to import workforce into the county for? And can we create more housing opportunities so we're doing less of that? Because one thing we heard a lot about was traffic on the interstate. At a certain point, you need to have more of your workforce locally. And so the response to that will vary from place to place. I also would mention there are a lot of rural parts of the region, including New York County, a lot of communities with a textile industry heritage that have a different economic history. And in those smaller communities, the response is different. You know, the growth trajectory is different. And maybe there are smaller budgets. These are places where the COG could help in different ways, where something like a big infrastructure project is just beyond the means of those local communities. So depending on the size of the budget and the interest in investing locally, there might be a combination of maybe local regulatory changes with grant applications at the state or federal level to support with the infrastructure needed to unlock those housing opportunities.
And still, we need to bring housing to the market that the consumer can afford. And that is a growing challenge, a growing challenge. All right, Elizabeth, are you satisfied mm-hmm. with what you've heard so far from community scale, or is there some other areas you want them to poke into?
I think, yeah, we're absolutely. It's been a great experience, and we've been really excited to see the data and how they have put it in together in a way and packaged it that it's easy to understand and easy to put out to our different communities for them to use. So I think that has been great. I think it will, like I said, it's an ongoing conversation. We're looking a little deeper at some of our sub-geographies within the counties to get some more information. And so, you know, I think there's always opportunity to see what next steps we can take. But overall, yeah, I think this project has really met the needs of what the stakeholders were looking for. We've provided the answers to a lot of the questions I think they had and a lot of the data that they were hoping to see.
Have you or are you planning to have all four of the entities come together and kind of do a roundtable based on what this report is saying and recommending?
So beyond the four county council meetings, I think our next steps is to just get the information out there and then convene our stakeholders to see, you know, how they want to then take the next steps and what we could do next.
So we're off and running. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see what happens. Yep. We'll see if we can help you nudge the, the powers to be to get this report and turn it into something that people can use and get some housing. We'd love it. Jeff Souser, thank you very much, and thank you for the work that Community Scale has done. Elizabeth, always wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And the COG does great work, and thank you for being here. So that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Caporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. One more time at Substation 2, why you should be here at Substation 2. For a fresh sub or salad, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in those white letters on this, what we call the Rednecks cue card. So let, at the count of three, tell everybody what it says. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.